Welcome again to another study in the book of Jeremiah. We are learning more and more about what God's warnings are for us today, because the book of Jeremiah is like today's newspaper, and it is really giving us an insight as to what is going on in the churches and in the world of our day. Now, we're in chapter 37 of Jeremiah, and now we're at the point where Jehoiakim no longer is king. Zedekiah has become king, who is the brother of Jehoiakim. But we're going to go back up, and we're going to take just a little bit of a quick detour in 2 Kings, because there God gives us a lot more information about what's happening. I'm going to start with 2 Kings chapter 23. We read in in Pharaoh Necho in verse 33, put him, that is Jehoahaz, in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. That meant now that Egypt gained a rulership over Judah. Israel put itself under the taxation from Egypt because Egypt had been successful in killing the king of Judah. It was a disaster, a major disaster that this all happened, just like it's a major disaster when God came to the end of the church age and he installed Satan there. And we know that just as God installed Satan at the end of the church age and all the churches, we know here that by the same token, God is pulling all the strings here, making sure that these affairs would go in this way, because God's plan will take place. He is the judge of all the earth. He is the governor. He is the one who rules, and everything is under his control. Well, then we read in verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. Now, he was the proper man to be made king, although now he is a king installed by the Egyptians, not by the Israelites, but by the Egyptians, because Israel, or Judah, has become a subject nation to Egypt. And this is emphasizing that in the year 609 B.C., which was typifying the year 1988, the body of believers were now subject to Satan. They're not subject, or they're being ruled over by Satan, and God has put into action his final plan. And we see here how God is typifying this. And each action is not in the hand of the Israelites anymore, or those of Judah. It's in the hand of, right at this point, still, it's in the hand of Pharaoh. And we read, and Jehoiakim gave, this is verse 35, and Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, for he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Now, this is emphasizing the fact that Judah absolutely was under the rule of Pharaoh, because whenever taxes to whom taxes are due, Jesus himself spoke about that. Judah no longer was its own country under the rule only of, well, of course, it always is under the rule of God ultimately, but now there's an terrifically terrible intrusion. The enemy's Pharaoh, Egypt, is ruling over them. Just as there was a terrific intrusion into the churches when in the year 1988, Satan was installed to rule in the churches. Okay, then let's see what happens. Jehoiakim was 25 years old, verse 36 says, of 2 Kings 23. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Harumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, according to all that his father had done. That is, his father's. And it's not talking about Josiah. It's going back to Manasseh and Ahaz and some of the other very wicked kings that had come before. And so right here we see how Israel or Judah came into total disaster just because here is 39-year-old Josiah, man of God, who loved the Lord dearly. Judah was in a better condition than it had been for a long, long time, and God had a plan. God had a plan to instantly change that entirely. We can't even imagine such a substantial change all happening. And it was very, very almost instantly, because even Jehoahaz, who was installed by Egypt, he only reigned 3 months. Installed by the people of Judah, he only reigned 3 months. So it was still all in that year 609 B.C. that it was all being put together. And that's exactly what God did in the end of the church age. Suddenly it's all come to an end. We didn't realize it, of course, until we spent a lot of time going through the Bible, looking at this and looking at that. And then we began to see it. Well, now let's go on with chapter 24. Now, at this point, at the very beginning, Egypt is ruling. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. And Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came at about that same time, came to fight with Egypt and defeated Egypt and took the nation of Israel, a vassal state now of the Egyptians, away from Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar took its place. And from now on, it's going to be Nebuchadnezzar that is ruling, that is the king over Judah. In his and Jehovah sent against him bands of Chaldeans, that is against Jehoiakim. Let's back up now in order to make sure we're getting this straight. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, installed Jehoiakim to be king. But after reigning for only a very short time, Nebuchadnezzar came against Egypt and defeated Egypt so that Babylon became the ruler. In other words, Babylon supplanted Egypt as now the ruler over Judah. And that too was God's plan, because throughout the Bible, as we look at the rule at the Great Tribulation time, the focus is mainly on Satan, who is typified by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So he rules. and Jehovah, and he became his servant 3 years. Now, it doesn't say right at this point, and I don't know anywhere in the Bible where we have more information, whether this was immediate, say after a few months or after a year, after Jehoiakim had become a king, had been installed there by Egypt, but it doesn't make any difference. The point is that finally, Jehoiakim was under the authority now of Babylon. He was a vassal ruler. He was a he had no authority in himself. The authority came from Babylon, and it says that he ruled over him 3 years. Now Jehoiakim is going to rule for a total of 11 years, but in these first 3 years, or at least for 3 years of that time, he is definitely under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. And Jehovah, verse 2, sent against him bands of the Chaldees, they are the Babylonians, and bands of Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by his servants the prophets. In other words, it's a terrible time. Not only are they under the rule of Babylon now, but they're also being assaulted by other nations around. Surely at the commandment of Jehovah came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight. You read that sentence? Surely at the command of Jehovah came this. God is the judge of all the earth. He's in charge. These are not just things that are happening because of some dumb mistake of a king or some difficulty that just kind of arose. God is very carefully orchestrating it all. He is the judge of all the earth. He is the governor. He is the one who rules. And it is his plan that this is going to follow, end up with Judah being completely destroyed, and it's going to happen, even though there's some twists and turns as we go along, as we're going to find. We read, and then in verse 4, and that is for all the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. And Manasseh is really being used here as a typifying the sins of all the fathers. Remember, and the earlier verse, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which Jehovah would not pardon. And we know that the churches, which we cannot ever get out of our mind as we read about these things, that they are filled with innocent blood. Are they? They're filled with innocent blood. Here's a third of the world's population that has an interest in the Bible. And virtually every church, I don't know of any exceptions, there may be, but I don't know where it is, has a plan to get people saved, and it's all eventually because of a do-it-yourself salvation plan. And every individual that is told in those churches that you have become saved, you are now safe and secure in the arms of Christ, if they have followed the rules of and believe in the rules of their church that they're listening to, are on their way to judgment day. They're on their way to death. The death, the execution that comes, the shameful execution that comes as a result of sin. Because any do-it-yourself salvation plan cannot save anybody. So when it says, for all the innocent blood that he shed, that it filled, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. While that is a gory, a horrible statement, nevertheless, it has its absolutely perfect fulfillment in what has happened within the churches. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did are not, are they not written in the chronicle of the kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and his son Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Now remember, Jehoiachin was Jeconiah. Remember that Jehoiakim was the king that threw the law of God into the fire. Remember, he's the one that when Baruch wrote down right from the lips of Jeremiah, as he heard from the lips of God, word by word, the law of God, and wrote it down. And then when it came before Jehoiakim, he threw it into the fire. And so God cursed that line, and Jehoiachin was not to remain king. And in fact, after 3 months, the king of Egypt came not again anymore, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates all that pertained to the king of Egypt. In other words, Egypt is completely out of the picture now for the time being. We're not through with Egypt quite yet. And Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign. Actually, in another passage, he was 8 years old, because for 10 years he had been co-regent with his daddy Jehoiakim. Just as I explained a little earlier, that was a normal thing to do in those days. But now he, at the age of 18, he's an independent ruler. He's not independent, though. He is under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. And we read in verse 9, he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, Jeconiah, or Coniah, those are three names God uses of him, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And that was the 8th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the 8th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Otherwise, we'd have a contradiction. And we, when we work through this, that was proven. This is the 8th year of King Nebuchadnezzar. And carried out thence all the treasures of the house of Jehovah and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of Jehovah, as Jehovah had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. Now, we can't tell from the context whether all of this happened right at this point when Jehoiachin went out to the king of Babylon. Probably some of it did. This may be a summary statement also, that finally all of this did happen. We can't really tell. Someplace along this time, undoubtedly, men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were choice young men, were also taken captive into Babylon and groomed to be leaders or to be political leaders in the nation of Babylon. That's another subject. And he carried away Jehoiachin. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar, who is ruling. It's his 8th year. He is in complete charge of Judah. Judah is not an independent country at all. And it is the king of Babylon who is deciding who is going to be the king. It was not God's, not Nebuchadnezzar's plan to destroy Jerusalem and the whole city. Normally, when one nation subjugated another nation, it was not to destroy them. It's mostly when God had his action or had his plan to work out there that the nation was destroyed, completely destroyed. If we go back for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 27, just hold your finger there a minute. We read there in Jeremiah 27, Jeremiah has got a message from God that he's telling to Zedekiah, the final king. But the nations, in verse 11, but the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith Jehovah, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake there also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. And so God is indicating that there was a possibility. If you obey me, even things are going bad, if you obey me, you can still live. But we're going to find that both Jehoiakim and Zedekiah rebelled against what God had told them to do, and they didn't want to have their necks under the yoke of Babylon. And so consequently, it ended up that they were completely destroyed, which was the original intent of God anyway, to totally destroy them. And again, the nation of Judah. Well, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 24. And then we find that in verse 15, he carried away Jehoiachin, that is Jeconiah, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the men of might, 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. In other words, without question, when Jehoiachin was taken into Babylon, a lot of other people were also. And the king of Babylon, I'm reading verse 17, made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Now we have the final king. He was going to rule for 11 years, and here it's very clear that Zedekiah was installed and under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. There was no independence in the nation of Judah at this time. They've already entered into this time of great tribulation when they're being ruled over by Satan, that is typified by Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. And then one final sentence. For through the anger of Jehovah it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And you see that God has a big anger against the nation of Judah that's got to end up with total destruction. But we'll pick up from there and try to run through this a little bit further, and then we'll get back into Jeremiah.